Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This week's how do we want to put news special? Is that what we're going to call this?
Yeah, we're going to call it midweek out? China balloon special.
China balloon special. Okay, so here we are, me and the Ozark Howler, with no Jason, the super producer. We'll talk about how Jason's doing at some point in this episode, but we want to jump right into the biggest news because I want your take on the Chinese weather balloon, okay, or whatever it is. What's your take? What's the hot take?
Well, I don't know. You got to give it to me. You haven't hit play yet. I haven't made up my stick yet.
What are you talking about? We've been recording for 45 seconds.
Oh, well, you know what? I think, man, the problem is my mind's polluted so bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I thought, well, let me back up and say, the thing that bothers me the most is when people say we don't have, it was flying too high for the planes that we have. Okay.
Okay.
That bothers me.
Why does that bother you?
Because it's not right. It's not real. It's falsehood. Okay.
Okay.
In the 1958, 59, they flew an F-4 Phantom, which has got the aerodynamics of a refrigerator, 98,000 feet. Okay.
Okay. Which is way higher than when this is like,
which is way higher than the balloon.
Yeah. Okay. When it's like 69,000.
And those speed records were broken in the '70s by the F-15 Strike Eagle, which is, I don't want to say our number one plane because we have an F-15. That's probably our most, that we have the most of, right? But F-15, all the West Coast is patrolled by F-15. Their NARTOP is out of the Oregon National Guard, and they're flying F-15 Strike Eagles. At any point, they could have scrambled. Anyway, they flew up to 100,000 feet in the '70s, and by 1980, they actually shot a satellite, one of our old satellites, for a test. they flew up in the stratosphere at, I don't know my spheres, right? They flew way the hell up there, 90-some thousand feet at the correct angle, and got a lock on one of our old satellites 100 miles away in space and shot it down.
Really?
Yes. It's on Modern Marvels. It's public information. Look it up. So when I see these talking heads running their mouth about, we don't have a plane, and the only thing we don't have is guts to do something. So then I got to thinking it was really our shit, and it's just loose, and they don't know what to say, right? So they just blame it on China. That was my second thing. Uh-huh. It was our stuff.
Rogue. Our stuff going rogue.
Well, I'm not really rogue. The fact that it was just loose, you know? They're looking for January 6th protesters or something. I don't know, but it's our stuff. And then they don't want to say that we had this badass weather balloon, you know, doing whatever badass weather balloons do. So they blame them on China.
So, well, the size of it, though, what they say was the size of three buses?
Yeah, but that's like, what, 120 feet of something across? It's just full of air, dude.
But it wasn't the balloon part that was that big. It was the part that it was carrying.
No, it was the balloon part that was that big.
Well, I thought they meant to put the part that was hanging
below.
That's
what they're doing. They're just talking some shit to you why we can't do nothing.
Oh, geez. So I just don't even know what's going on. All I know is my daughter Hannah in South Carolina, the prosecutor, sent me a thing that said the sheriff down there in their county was warning everybody not to try to shoot down the Chinese weather balloon themselves, because any bullet that goes up must come down.
Right.
And she goes, now, and I listen, she didn't mean it was just a joke, but she says, that's all you need to know about South Carolina. That they're going to be out there shoot, and not all South Carolina guy people are like that. I mean, I know, you know, a couple of really great people in South Carolina that would not be out there trying to shoot down a Chinese weather balloon with their 38 special, you know.
Right.
But she just thought that was funny that the sheriff's department felt they had to make a public announcement to not try to shoot it down. So what do you think? I mean, to me, sending a balloon to spy on us seems 1950s. Doesn't it? I mean, am I missing something?
This is two things. Now, the talking heads are saying that some people are saying it's a big screw you to Biden, right? I mean, President Biden. I'm going to give him the respect his office deserves. You know, meaning, hey, not only can we spy on you, but we can use the oldest technology we have and spy on you and give you 3 weeks to shoot this thing down, and you still won't do it. Because, you know, it started way up by Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it went Alaska. It went around the airspace of Russia, jumped in on Alaska, went across Canada, hung around in Montana 2 or 3 days, which is why it got it. It basically hovered in Montana, which is the reason why so many people got upset. And then it took off.
So it wasn't just aimlessly drifting across.
No, because up here in the I'm going to call it stratosphere because I don't know my spheres again. But the wind it was in is between 160 and 200 miles an hour most of the time.
So it was being intelligently controlled at all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. What I think there's a...
Well, I was just going to say, and now there's one over Latin America.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, hey, that's probably some dudes just trying to get to Cuba or get to America or something. They just, it might be because it's a big pinata that they're going to drop into when's El Carnaval start, you know, May. Maybe they're trying to get in line for that.
I don't know.
For Rio. Uh-huh.
So like that, Chinese weather balloon's full of like little poppers and candy.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. Maybe little egg rolls and shit. I don't know. Crab Rangoon.
Crab Rangoon. Oh, my gosh.
But probably what it probably is, because these people are on like, they've already defeated us. I mean, you realize that, right?
Yeah, from the inside out. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's too late. They done won. They think in generations, if not millennials, I mean, millennia, it's just, they've already won.
they're going to evict us from all the buildings in the big cities that they bought. They're going to say, hey, you guys need to get out. We're raising the rent.
I don't even think they're going to do that. I mean, I don't think they're, I think they are who the extraterrestrials control.
Ooh, okay. You think the Chinese and the extraterrestrials?
That is the extraterrestrials actually control the Chinese. They give up on the Egyptians because the Middle East just got too out of control for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They controlled the world through the Valley of the Kings and Queens for a couple thousand years, and for some reason, I was going to say the Africans, but the North Africans and the Fertile Crescent just got to be a bad place, right?
Yeah,
it got to be a bad place. So they left, and now they're controlling the world through the Asians, through the Chinese.
That's an interesting theory.
So anyway, we have we're at the tail end of a weather event, or right in the winter of in the middle of a, and I'm going to call it El Nino because it's not an El Nino, but it's a winter thing where the jet stream brings all this cold air in. The last time we've had one like this, because it's going to get cold again next week. It's going to get cold for next 2 or 3 weeks, apparently.
I can't wait.
Okay. The last time was event was like that, the winter of 2018, 1984, 68. There's been like four of them really in the last 70 some years. So every once in a while, there's a winter event where this air comes way out of the North Pole and comes down essentially how that balloon went. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And they're on a long-term goal to map out how the wind patterns or the atmosphere goes. So at some point when they want to release some bad shit or something like that in our country, they'll be able to do it.
And never even have to leave China.
And never even have to. Nope. They won't have to leave. They'll seed the clouds with some bad stuff. And that'll be that. And we'll be trying to worry about, you know, whether some bad stuff jumps up on the beach and the Outer Banks or whatever, you know. I would say they have,
That's an interesting theory. I mean, I can't say that that's probably not plausible.
And why they were here, that, you know, they hovered over some of them nuclear silos or whatever, and because it went from the silos where all the nukes are in Montana to across through South Dakota. Apparently, it hovered. You came across Whiteman Air Force Base, which is where all the B-2 bombers and stuff are. You know, it went over some military stuff. So maybe it is take some high resolution photos or something. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, like, in this day and age, it seems like you could get that information other ways than just that obvious.
Which is probably why they needed to, you know, I'm in the middle of watching. I was on Netflix when you texted me watching The Gentleman with, it's a Guy Ritchie film.
Oh,
great,
okay.
Great film. Yeah. Did you see it?
I have not.
Okay. It's Matthew McConaughey's a big marijuana dealer in London as an expat, and he wants to get out of the game. So he's basically shopping it around for a couple people for $400 million, right? Well, his wife tells him in there that some people might take that as a sign of weakness, him wanting to get out of the business, right?
Yeah.
Him wanting to get out of the business might be a sign of weakness, so shit's going to happen, and we're going to have to make an example out of you, right? Or, you know, if something happens, you're going to have to make an example out of somebody.
Yeah, I got you.
So in some ways, I think maybe this weather balloon, yes, because if they really wanted to know anything about our stuff, all they got to do is call the Biden crime family that they've retained for the last 10, 15 years and ask them. So I think it was a big screw you to somebody, and I just don't know who, right? Maybe to the, who knows, right? I just think in some ways.
But could it also be a a retaliation for something that we have done to them that we have not heard about?
We bought too much of their shit from Walmart.
No,
we bought too many freaking iPads and caused them to that we have made them so rich that they're breaking their back carrying all the fucking money we give them. You're right. No. Maybe we'd have done something. Oh no. My god! Oh, you mean we give them so much technology?
No, I mean, if they're spying on us, we're certainly spying on them. Okay, that's what or else you wouldn't have had a job for so many years.
We didn't fuck with the Chinese in my old job. Well, nobody fucks with the Chinese, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that?
Because 2/3 of everything in the world is made in China now.
So we can talk
all this bullshit we want about being at war with China, but are we really at war with China? Because you know why? They're buying. They paid for that balloon with money we sent them. I think it's the ultimate screw you, man. I've never met Xi Jinping, but he's about 20. I got nothing but respect for the man. Think about it. He's a baller.
Yeah, you're right.
We're going to take all that Walmart and Target money that you people send me, and I'm going to put it in this balloon, and that's what it might have been. The balloon might have been folded with Walmart receipts, and when it got popped, they just like confetti blowing in the wind. That's what I'd have done. I'd have filled that thing up with Walmart receipts and you know, what's that other Amazon shit?
Best Buy.
The only thing that would have been made better, did you see, I guess, Trump's kid tweeted, you remember when the British had that Trump baby balloon that they put all over London? It was President Trump all blown up.
Oh, yeah. I do.
He was saying that we should bring that thing over and fly it through Taiwan as Taiwan Straits, the Trumpy balloon.
Oh, for goodness sake. That's
a better thing. Oh, my God. So the China balloon was probably full of, who knows, hot air, right?
That's what. Well, hey, listen, it could have, you know, if you really wanted to be a baller move, it could have been full of coupons to buy more stuff from them, or like little fortunes. Could have been like full of fortunes, like
little fortune cookies, yeah, and you pull out your fortune.
Just not even the cookies. Didn't even buy the cookies.
Just the fortunes. I like that. I like that just idea. That's even better. And you're supposed to put in bed with it after that, right? You know that?
Oh, whatever really?
Your fortune says, you're supposed to put in bed with or in bed after that. See, so I got a couple here in my wallet because I collect them.
Yeah, I do too. Story. Isn't that weird?
Let's see which one it says. This one, it's in here real tight because of my credit card. Okay. But let's see what it says. I had two of them. I'd taken off my dead brother's refrigerator when I was there, and I forgot what they were. Something about good fortune coming his way and something
in
else.
Because
he was dead in bed. So I thought that was funny to myself and me and my other brother's twisted way. And I took them and I had them in my wallet. And of course, one of them, I pulled out my credit card to pay one day and it flew away and I chased it down the drain. And finally I just said, screw it. And I go, but I got another one right here. What's it say? You're the hog. You're the dog. No, it's... God, I can't hardly read it. It's so folded up so tight. It says... Shows me... I can read my lucky numbers, but I can't read the fortune. It says... Patience is the best remedy for every trouble.
In bed.
Yeah, I guess it would be in bed. Yeah, well, tell me you'd be some trouble, huh?
Well, hey.
Patience. I'm going to tell her that.
Just have some patience.
Have patience with me.
Just have patience, honey.
So that was one off of my dead brother's refrigerator. And the other one had something to do with luck. So, anyway. What was I going to say?
Well, I was going to do the segue for you into... The one place that China isn't sending a weather balloon is Australia.
You know, that's right. And I'm going to tell you why I think that is.
Why is that?
They got saltwater crocs. Big badass crocodiles makes our alligators look like...
The nicest thing they got is a saltwater crocs.
Oh, I've heard the women down there are just phenomenal. But I don't know. It could be crazy as hell. Who knows? You know, I've changed my opinion so many.
You think the women down there can compete with the ones in Canada? I don't know.
We are a family friendly show, or I would have said something. I almost slipped up. Okay. And I realized
that And I know I can probably name off about five guys listening right now, or they're going to be listening and be like, oh, come on, say it.
You know, no, I can't do it. I can't do it because I think in a lot of ways, the good Lord made them all the same, whether it was Fatima or Sarah or whoever you want to talk about, biblically Ruth. I'm sure they're all the same, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are, you know, women are like pit bulls, right? It's all in how you raise them.
Are you okay?
Yeah, you know how you always see pit bulls pit bull mauled some kidney. Oh no, pit bulls are lovely dog. It's just how you raise them. Okay,
so are you speaking that that as a father raising daughter?
No, I've been mauled, man. Are you kidding me?
Mauled? I'm walking with a limp. What are you talking about?
I raised my daughter with a Bible in one hand and a Glock in the other. So. Whether she turns out all right, it doesn't matter, but she knows it better.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Well, yours ended up a lawyer, so I'm sorry for your loss. But... yes. They all can't be saints, man. Some of them have to be lawyers.
Well, the other one, from what I hear, is going to be a lawyer too. I haven't heard from her in years, but from what I hear about her, she's going to be a lawyer. That was her plan. So.
Well, it's better than being a psychologist or a sociologist or one of these other deals, right?
I guess. But I was telling you, I sent you one of our fans in Australia.
That's right.
Left us a pretty cool review on Apple.
And, I've seen that.
I don't even want to try to do his accent. But it said, Midweek House says, good day, boys. Just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your midweek howl. The dynamics of you two is awesome. Keep it up. From Fisho, that's his name, his handle, Fisho, Sydney, Australia. You guys have fans. I love your show. But sometimes I struggle to hear you guys.
Well, hear us in, like, he can't, is the podcast isn't up, or he doesn't understand what we're saying?
No, I think because... you and I don't have fancy microphones. At least I don't. You do.
I've got a $12 Microsoft headset.
I know. I'm getting ready to upgrade to a nice laptop with a nice microphone and headset stuff. So I am getting ready to upgrade to that because we should have better sound. At least
I purposely have been dragging my feet for two reasons. Okay, first of all, I got a real nice desktop computer and two monitors going. Okay.
Yeah.
And the people I work in, the space I work in, we have meetings like on Mondays, like today I've had three 1-hour Zoom type meetings. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a camera on my thing. I do on my laptop. So on the very first meeting, I had to use my laptop. And they could see in the background in my little office here, I didn't blur my thing, and they saw dead deer heads, dead antelope heads, a bunch of guns, baseball bats, and guitars. And I don't want to say it mad at anybody, but I had some comments based upon that first day. So I've never used my laptop again, and I go straight with screens, and it just says my name when I'm on there, right? Because some of these guys have what's it called? I Love Me Walls. You know what I Love Me Wall is in the government, where you put all those plaques and all your,
okay.
You know what I mean?
So all your accolades on the
yes. Just, a lot of these guys put all these. They have their I Love Me Wall and some American flags, and now the people I work with are all. Well, I'm choosing my words here. Most, 98% of them are, I'm not going to say these words, on our podcast.
Okay.
Because we're family friendly.
But, right. Okay.
But they're liberal Democrats. And their stuff is not the same as my stuff. Okay. And so I've just taken it out. And almost all of them are lawyers. So I've taken the stuff out. You know what I mean? I've just taken that option off the table. So,
So you're saying that because you're a liberal Democrat, you can't have an American flag or stuffed deer head or something?
They don't like the AR-15s, the baseball bats, and now one of them has a guitar.
Oh, no, come on. Animals. Oh, come on. You're going to tell me there's not a Democrat that plays baseball or
I know Democrats with machine guns. They just don't show it. You know.
Well. I mean, is there a reason to show it? I mean, you're not like I've seen your stuff. It's not because you're decorated. It's just what you got sitting around.
Right. I got a box. Yes, I've got a samurai sword on a box of CDs and DVDs laying here too, and a Porsche, a framed 1928 Porsche going through Le Mans. Sitting sideways on my thing. It's not that I'm want to, because I'm too lazy to drill holes in my sheetrock to hang this shit up. And my wife walked through this house and took every single thing that was mine and stuck it in this 8x10 thing down here in the basement that I call my office.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen, I don't want to hear it. At least you got an office. I don't even have an office. And I couldn't even sit in Christy's office tonight because she's got some big presentation. She's got a, or some big paper she's got to get ready for the president of UPS.
So, well, next year when you get married, maybe she'll let you have an office then. See, that's the thing. You gotta take them to the next level. You know?
What ain't next year? It's just a couple months away.
Well, whatever. It's the same. I guess it is 2023 now, isn't it?
It is. So back to that.
I've got a good microphone here. The problem is if I plug my microphone in, the headset I have does not work with it. It's got a plug in the back. My headset plugs in the USB, and this plugs in a – anyway. Plus, I don't want to take out the authenticity. You know what I mean? If people really knew we were millionaire entertainers, would we – have all these fans?
Probably not.
You know what I'm saying?
They would be disgusted with us.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, they would say, well, these guys, you know, this guy's not a real redneck. He's a whatever he is. You know?
Well, speaking of that, and I don't even know how to segue.
I didn't even notice this. My kid put this sticker on my gun. There's a big gun safe behind me. It would have been in the background. And there's this picture there. It says Cummins Turbo Diesel. It's like a Dodge Ram thing, you know, because he's into Dodge trucks. And he says, I like my trucks lifted and my guns loaded. Dodge trucks.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So no wonder they were uncomfortable with me.
Well, I want to give an update on Jason, the super producer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we've never really talked about, like, why he you know, what really was ailing him and what he, why he's missed missed so much of the podcast and stuff. But right. I kind of have his blessing to kind of give everybody an update, because he's going through some pretty tough times, and I think he'd kind of like everybody to know so they could say a prayer. Yeah, say a prayer for him and stuff. So last year, maybe in late December, early January,
right. Yeah,
he and I both came down with COVID. And I don't know if it was weird. We both came down with it at the same time. We had got together to film some documentary stuff. And I had a tough time with it. I think I talked about it in the podcast where I thought I was losing my mind there a little bit. Well, Jason, earlier that year, had a bad scratch or something that turned into a really bad infection. And I don't think they got all that infection taken care of. And when he got COVID then, a couple months later, it really attacked his body. It ended up ruining his kidneys. Okay. So, I mean, his kidneys are not good. He's waiting for he's on the transplant list. And so as part of his recovery, he started, doing dialysis and stuff. And then he progressed into doing dialysis every night at home, so a lot of on the regular podcast, he would be on with me. He hasn't even been able to be on because he has to be hooked up by 8 o'clock every night. So
I didn't know they had those things. You could do them every day.
Yeah. It's in preparation for when he does get a transplant, because it'll be, he can do it at home. He can go.
He's
got to
be cleaned out.
I guess he has to continue doing it after he has the transplant. I don't know for how long, but I from what I understand. So anyway, he progressed to that. Well, about 2 weeks ago, he started having his legs started hurting, and went to the doctor, and there was some sort of infection in his leg, and they didn't really admit him to the hospital, which I don't know. I mean, the judge and I have been on him. You got to get some different healthcare providers. But anyway.
Well, I'm not going to say what I was about to say.
But he had a fever of over 100 degrees for a week. And they finally put him in the hospital last week. And his wife got a hold of me. He has pneumonia now. And he's going to have to get a pacemaker put in. And the pacemaker is because his heart can't keep up with getting the fluid out of his body, even being hooked up to the dialysis every night.
Dude, he's not that old.
No, he's our age, which,
it's not the age, it's the miles. I mean, I'm miled out, but he's still fairly, at least I thought he, I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's a strong, healthy guy and a very vigorous guy. And yeah, this is just knocking square on his butt. And I think he would appreciate, I know his wife would appreciate everybody
praying him in it. Just go ahead and say pray.
Pray for him, about him, whatever.
Or meditate and think about him.
Because the thing is he didn't, I think a lot of times he didn't want to tell us how bad he was.
Right.
And because he's, like I said, he's a tough, strong dude and he wants to fight through it. But man, this is just, this is really eye-opening, because like I said, he's our age and, the COVID affected me in a weird way. It's kind of a weird thing. It seems to attack you at your weakest point, and apparently that was Jason's weakest point, and it was pretty good. It was just like a perfect storm for him, unfortunately.
Didn't he get vaccinated?
I don't remember if he did or not, because I never did, because I got COVID early on. I got it again. And so I'm thinking, man, I got to have some kind of immunity to it.
Right.
But
you're still pure blood. Mm-hmm. That's what they call you.
I'm still pure blood. I thought that I was pure blood because I had never drank or did drugs.
Oh, I forgot about that too. Yeah, that could be it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was because you're from Ohio, and that's really not a place.
It's really not a place.
That's what they, haven't you heard that?
No, I've never heard of Ohio.
Yes, that's really what they say. Ohio is really not a place.
How could it not really be a place? And what regard?
You've got to look that up, and you're going to see. Don't ever go to Twitter and ask if Ohio's a real place, because you'll get blown up.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of that, and the segue from Jason being tough and everything, I heard. So, yeah. So, everybody, please, you know, say a prayer. Keep Jason in your thoughts. Hopefully, he'll get back with us soon. But in the meantime, Phil is stepping back in his role as producer, helping us get everything up and cleaning up the audio and making sure it sounds pretty good. So Phil's really, you know, really good at it. And we're blessed that he's got the time to do it. He's busy editing like three movies right now and getting ready to shoot another one. So just the fact that he has agreed to help us out is pretty cool. So, but anyway,
right, we might get some a different twist on our production, yeah. Maybe.
Oh yeah. I mean, Phil, I think Phil had some time. I know he had some ideas about doing some stuff on YouTube.
Right.
The funny one that I still am waiting. He talked about doing a short cartoon to your baby chick story where they caught on fire and then burnt the house down.
Sure.
And I think that'd be one of the funniest cartoons ever. So I don't know. Maybe that might be in the works. But I wanted to see if you'd heard this story. I was listening to a podcast today about Bruce Lee. Okay. The great Bruce Lee. And he was friends with Roman Polanski.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. And at the crime scene after the Manson family slaughtered all, you know, Sharon Tate and Jay Sebring and the Folgers woman and all that, they found a pair of eyeglasses at the scene. And at this time, Bruce Lee, because of Jay Sebring, the stylist to all the stars or whatever, he had introduced Bruce Lee to all these people, and he was given all these famous people like Steve McQueen and Roman Polanski and some of those private karate lessons or kung fu, you know, whatever discipline.
I think he was karate, right? Kung fu's Chinese, like the balloon.
He was karate, but he had a
he was kung fu fighting.
No, it was a much older discipline, I think is that the proper term, that was more aggressive and quick and that he adopted that the people in Hong Kong.
So it's like an ancient.
Okay. It's like an old discipline.
Right.
That was no longer in favor with what was going on in Hong Kong at the time. And they described it as, you know, short, quick, like less than like a couple inches is all he extended his arm to punch you. Wasn't like a long punch. It was a series of quick punches, quick kicks or whatever. And so anyway, that's how he kind of got broke into Hollywood out there is gave people private lessons.
Okay.
That's how he kind of, you know, whatever. Well, anyway, at the crime scene, the police found a pair of eyeglasses and Roman Polanski then, while training with Bruce Lee shortly thereafter, has a conversation with Bruce Lee where Bruce Lee then says, hey, I lost my eyeglasses. I'm really having trouble seeing, you know? So immediately Roman Polanski thinks, oh my God, it was Bruce Lee who snuck into the house and killed everybody. So Roman Polanski really thought for a short time that Bruce Lee was the one that killed all the people, you know, his wife and J.C. Ebring and all those guys, and devised a plan to take, he offered to take him to the eye doctor, and he had the eye doctor have a pair of glasses there with the same prescription as the one that the police had found. And he gave those to Bruce Lee to see if you know, those were actually his glasses that he left at the scene. And when Bruce Lee put them on, he started looking around and then finally said, "Jesus Christ, I can't see anything with these lenses." And he was kind of like, Roman Polanski was kind of like relieved because he didn't know what he was going to say to him if it was the right prescription, you know?
Right. What have you done?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't believe that he thought that crazy. I mean,
yeah.
You saw how he's depicted in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right?
I have not got to see that yet. No.
Oh, well, never mind then. Anyway.
Oh, jeez. Now you're not gonna share it?
Well, I don't know who the dude was that played him, but in that scene, there's a scene where him and Brad Pitt, there's a whole bunch of them around. Brad Pitt plays a stuntman, right? And he's just sitting around, and he's really not, you know, Leo had to work hard to get him on the set because the director's wife doesn't like him. And Bruce Lee was talking all this stuff, and he got the bad mouth of Cassius Clay.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And finally, Brad Pitt kind of chuckled a little bit, and he goes, "What did you, you know what I mean? Something, I don't know. You think I said, do I say something funny?" And Brad Pitt goes, "Dude, you couldn't wipe Cassius Clay's sweatband or something. I don't remember what." You know what I mean? Because Bruce Lee was jumping, the dude is playing, he's jumping up and down saying he'd do this and do that and do that, you know? And then he ends up getting in a half-ass fight with the guy, and then the director comes in and they get kicked off the set.
Jeez. Well, it's interesting, you know, what Bruce, you know, how unbelievably talented Bruce Lee really was, but what a, for lack of a better term, crap head he was up until he was 18. He
basically, so you think that was true?
What's that? That he was a crap talker?
Yes.
Yes, because he got banished from Hong Kong when he was 18.
Oh, I did not know that.
Bruce Lee was Bruce Lee's father was a musician, okay? And I think he was maybe an orchestral musician, and him and his mom happened to be in San Francisco on tour when Bruce Lee's mom went into labor and had him. Okay, so he had dual citizenship, United States and Hong Kong.
Okay? No, or China.
What do you mean?
They didn't get citizenship on birth until 63, 64.
He had citizenship in the United States.
He might have from some other purpose, but it was more complex than just being born here until.
Are you calling them liars?
I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm just saying this whole you're born here, you get automatic citizenship is some shit that the Supreme Court cooked up in the 60s, which is why we didn't have all these Hispanics and southern border issues until the last 40 years.
Well, Bruce Lee was born in 1940.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm reading that in San Francisco.
Okay. So, let's see. He was born there in November 27th, 1940, making him a dual Hong Kong and United States citizen by birth. Okay. So there's two.
I'm just telling you, you didn't get citizenship automatic because you were born here. They either applied for him, his mother, somebody had to be Okay, where's his mom from? Eurasian embassy. Where's old Grace from? Old Grace Ho. Mm-hmm. She's from Shanghai, too. Uh-huh.
I don't know. It doesn't say anything.
I understand that. That's because Wikipedia and all these things are edited by people that don't understand how it worked up until lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he got kicked out. He got kicked out of Hong Kong. He had a choice. Either basically he was going to jail or he could leave and go to the United States. And because he just beat everybody up in Hong Kong.
Well, maybe they needed it.
Yeah.
And they but he wasn't very big, right? How big was he?
Oh, I don't think he was. Well, I think he was bigger than a lot of other guys in Hong Kong. That makes sense.
He was 5'7" and weighed 64 kilograms, 2.2 kilos in a. So what is that making?
Way smaller than me.
Well, I'm just what did I just say? How many kilograms? No,
I don't know.
64. I'm getting my calculator out. Let's just do this the right way. 64 times 2.2 equals, he was 140 pounds.
Wow.
Okay. So, and I'm going to compare him to
me.
No, I am going for a. So, Muhammad Ali was, why did they do this kilogram shit on here? He was six. Muhammad Ali was 6'3", 236. So, I'm just saying, Bruce Lee might have struggled. Maybe Brad Pitt's character was right. Bruce Lee might have struggled.
Well, I don't see. There's the thing. Muhammad Ali was a trained boxer, and obviously, and a tremendous athlete, the same as Bruce Lee. Do you really think that? Muhammad Ali would have let Bruce Lee get close enough to him.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. So. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it was interesting. It made me want to go back and watch some of those Bruce Lee movies. You know, I haven't seen them for a while. Enter the Dragon and. Oh, you know, he did like three in Hong Kong before he did Enter the Dragon. And Enter the Dragon was the one that they were editing and finishing up when he died. So, because he died basically a heat stroke. Because Bruce Lee had the sweat glands from underneath his armpits removed. Because he would sweat so bad on the set. He'd sweat right through his clothes, no matter what he was doing. So he just decided to have his sweat glands removed. And it basically ended up overheating him. How about that?
Well.
All he needed was some secret. He'd have been all right.
Yeah, that's right.
Or dry.
Why would he have had him taken out?
So he didn't sweat under his arms. That's why he had him taken out. It's what he claimed. So he didn't keep ruining the t-shirts or something. I just think he shouldn't work too hard. That'd solve the sweating problem.
So anyway, I've been reading here, not to screw up my thing. The first case was in 1898, and it was a Chinese guy, Wong Kim Ark. He was born here within the United States, and see, the way it was originally intended was for the freed slaves who had no country to call their own to have citizenship. But if you have, like, if a diplomat from anywhere in the world is stationed, like at the UN in New York City, if their family, if their wife or significant other, now wife or husband, has a baby, they do not get citizenship. Did you know that?
No,
I did not. Yes, because they have ties, they have diplomatic ties to their host, to their original country. So they passed that Citizen Act for freed slaves who couldn't go back to Africa. And then here in 1898, they expanded it for the Chinese people whose parents were brought over here by, you know, a host of things. Maybe they were, what's it called? Not Shanghai. Is that what it's called when you're Shanghai?
I thought, wasn't Shanghai
when they kidnap you?
Yeah, but that was what it was called. I remember seeing that.
Like, so then they
Shanghai you onto a ship,
right?
Like,
so
like,
then,
right? like club you over the head and
see, before that one car, the Supreme Court had held in Elk versus Wilkins that birthplace by itself was not sufficient to grant citizenship to Native Americans. So they didn't let freaking Indians be anything until the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924, and then the Chinese Exclusion Repealed the Act of 1943. And then the Immigration Nationality of 1965 is what give everybody and the Hispanics, there's just be here and have a baby and you're here. 1965. Uh-huh.
Well, there's a citizenship lesson, right?
Yeah, and there I think you go. I mean, hey, I there you go. You know, you've got a Chinese spy balloon thing. Now you're in citizenship. I mean, we're just tomorrow, or next week, I'm going to give you a chocolate chip cookie mix and how to train your Labrador Retriever, because we can do it all on this podcast if you just tune in.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.